the Lord gave me three words: lies, lies, lies. And so hold on to your seats, because that's what I'm talking about this morning. Would you stand with me and position yourself to receive in some way? And I'd love you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, speak to my heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. Well, you know that God is at work here this morning. And sometimes what happens is, as I'm worshiping, the Lord just gives me words of encouragement for some people. And this morning, I just wanted to encourage, is it Laura? Laura? Lorna. Lorna, I just really felt the Lord wanted to say to you this morning that He's writing new chapters in your life. That there, as you reflect back on the past, that is the past, that's gone. But God wants you to know that He's writing new chapters in your story. And they're full of hope. They're full of fulfillment. That you know, those quiet times when you've cried out to Him, every word that you've uttered, He heard. Yeah, nothing that you've said to Him has gone unnoticed. And so He wants you to know that He's putting His arms around you. And this is a new day. This is a new season for you. And it's full of blessing. Yeah? Now, I wanted to talk to this guy here, and I've forgotten your name. What's your name?
Steve.
Steve, the Lord was telling me this morning that when you were a small child, you went through some tough stuff. And that there were times as a little boy that you cried out to a God that you didn't know. And so it's not a coincidence this morning that you find yourself here. You thought you were just hanging out with Tegan and you're just here with Tegan. But you know, God actually orchestrated your path. And He brought you to this place for this time and for this season. And what He wants to do is He wants to transform and turn your life around. And if you'll just say yes, He'll actually do something in your life that you never ever thought or imagined. Yeah? And so God's all over you this morning. Yeah? He's for you. He's for you this morning. Amen? All right. Well, lies, lies, lies. I went to the news agents this week and NewsPower, not trying to plug NewsPower, by the way. This was just the bag that the magazines came in. And what I did, I was going on a bit of an exploratory journey to find out what sort of messages, what sort of images we can find in our world today. So I thought I'd start at the newsagent and just have a look at the sorts of images and messages and values that are readily available for anyone who happens to walk into a news agency. And the first one I came across was this one: money. Super booster, plan to get back in the black. And it talks all about shares, talks about all the different things you can do to get out of debt. That was the first one that I found. The next one I found was this. It was called Green Entrepreneur. It's all about cannabis. Yeah? So it's on the shelf. And it says, the hemp boom. Artisanal weed and synthetic cannabis. That's what you can get at your newsagent. I was in Canning Vale, you can get it in Gosnells too. And so that's the sort of information, that's the images, that's the messages that are in the world today. Then I went to another section of the newsagent and I saw a magazine called, that was pretty interesting, called Real People. Not real life people, but real people, okay? And on it was, let me read some of the articles that you'll find in Real People. Why couldn't Rosie see this man was a killer? Death's door, I knocked and someone answered. Vamp, she lured him to his slaughter. Ghost bride, the day I wed the dead. And so that's the sort of information that you can go into your newsagent. That's the images that you can go in and see today. And then there was one last one that took my attention, and it's success. Because everybody's going after success. Yeah? Everybody wants to be successful. And so here it says, make it happen. Breakthrough advice from expert life coach Marie Forleo. The ultimate mindset guide, stronger thinking, pushes you forward and makes you successful. Need a raise? Anyone here need a raise? There's three ways to get promoted fast. Yeah? And, yeah, step on everybody else. Thank you, Jackie. And, all right. So, that's some of the images that are readily available in our world today. Now, you can see some other sorts of images if you turn on your computer screen. If you turn on your computer screen, you can be working away, but over in the side columns, you can easily access all sorts of different porn sites. That's some of the images that are readily available. And you know what? They are sending us messages. They are actually convincing us that all of these types of things are totally normal, they're totally acceptable, and that's the way life is. Yeah, and you know what? It's okay. That's the message, that it's okay. So, Father God, we pray today that as I speak, Father God, that untruth would be unveiled and your truth would reign here today in this house in Jesus' name. So we have these readily available images that we can access all through the day on our phones, on our laptops. And with them come voices that suggest, in subtle and not so subtle ways, how we should be looking, how we should be feeling, what we should be experiencing, and more importantly, what we should be believing. Messages that tell us what success looks like. Do we run by the world's timeline? By the world's expectations? Do we run by the world's standard of living? These images that translate into imaginations, they actually get into our minds and they actually pervade our thoughts. And before we know it, our minds can be full of images that are at times uncontrollable. Thoughts that influence our lives and are played out in all sorts of actions. Our minds can create images that are distorted, unhealthy, and untruthful. And these images, a lot of them are based on self. All about self. Self-indulgence. Everything that pleases the self, that part of us, the humanity part of us. We are followers of Jesus. And we need to have a filter because these aren't going away. Those images aren't going away. But we as followers of Jesus need to have a filter, a way of sorting out these thoughts and images. Romans 12:2, do not conform to the patterns of the world, that is the world systems, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. The filter that I'm talking about can only be found in the truth of God's word. And let me explain it like this. So, imagine there is people being trained to identify fake money, counterfeit money. And the way that they are trained is they are surrounded all day, every day, with genuine, real money. And the way they are trained is that they actually become so familiar with this real money that the moment that their trainers put in fake money amidst the real money, They are so familiar with the real, they identify the counterfeit straight away. Get it? Yeah? And what happens is, so it is with the Word of God. When we know God's truth, we can easily identify lies, lies, lies. How do we do this? Well, we need to be around godly truth. So you're already way ahead, because this morning when you woke up, you could have gone to Gozzie Markets, you could have gone anywhere, but you chose to come here. You chose to come and hear truth. You chose this morning to come and be around people who actually know truth. Yeah? And so you're already streets ahead. We also need to be around the Word of God so much that we quickly and easily identify lies. And then what we do is we renew our thinking to reject thoughts and suggestions that are totally contrary to God's nature and teachings. We identify, we have a thought that lands on our head, and we quickly say, well, that doesn't line up with what God says. That doesn't line up with the truth of God's word. And it's like a bird that lands on your head. You don't let it stay there. You get rid of the thought. Yeah, you get rid of it. You flick it off and you get rid of it. And you don't allow it to take root, to take seed. Yeah? Now, this all sounds really easy. This is fantastic. But the Word of God warns us to be aware of the devil's schemes and devices. Because the devil has a system that is so intact and so well organized that without even realizing it, we can be caught unaware. We can walk into a newsagent and think, oh, that looks interesting. I'll have a look at that. I'll have a read of that. Yeah? And we start to feed our mind with untruth, with unhealthy. Yeah? And God has given us, each one of us, the power of choice. As you got up this morning and came to our service, you chose to do that, yeah? Yeah? So he has given us a choice. We have a free will whereby we can choose positive or we can choose negative thoughts. And what you believe about yourself creates your world. It creates your future and it creates your destiny. Your core belief system can be completely based on the negative. How you see yourself can be influenced sometimes by the words of significant people, maybe a school teacher, maybe a school teacher who spoke negatively over you, said you'd never amount to much, maybe a parent or a grandparent that rather than speaking life into your heart and your mind, spoke negatively into your heart and mind. And so your belief system can be affected and based on that. And that's why we have to renew our minds and our belief system and our thinking with God's word. Because the validity of who we are is found in what God says about us. Yeah? So let's talk about voices. Did you know that your own self-talk today will be four times stronger and louder and more dominant than any other voice that you will hear? So as I'm speaking to you, your self-talk is already assessing and weighing up what I'm saying. Yeah? And what you're doing is you're saying to yourself, I don't know how good she is today. I don't know. And is there anything that rings true and means anything to your life personally? So there's your voice, your inner voice. And is there anything of value from what Bethwyn's saying that I'm actually going to adopt and put value on and apply to my own life? That's the loudest voice that you're hearing this morning. And the second voice is the voice of God. For those of you who know Jesus and have a personal relationship with him, he speaks to you every day. The Holy Spirit is continually seeking to guide and direct your decision process. He's giving you reassurances of God's love and encouraging you in your divine calling and purpose. Yeah? That's why it says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me his strength and his ability. The third voice that you hear is the voice of Satan or the devil, and his agenda is quite simple. He wants to rob from you. He wants to destroy you, in fact, and he wants to kill you. Does it sound dramatic, sound evil? Well, it actually is. But he uses subterfuge and disguise to carry out his plans on your life. And there are those of you sitting here this morning that know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you have been deceived and tricked into thinking that some of the choices you've made were going to be healthy and good for you. But they turned out they weren't. Yeah? And so what he does, he carries out his plans. He convinces you through all sorts of images that we talked about earlier, that a belief that sleeping around is just going to give you the best high, that taking drugs is going to actually take you to places that nobody else can take you to. It's also a voice that so robs from you and so seeks to destroy you that you actually believe it's the best sort of life. And these sorts of thoughts are lies, lies, lies. So imagine this. You're in this incredibly safe, secure castle. The castle represents the kingdom of God. And you are up there, you're standing in your castle looking out, and you belong to God. You know God personally. Your sins have been forgiven and are completely covered. You're in right standing with God. You are completely foolproof from condemnation because Romans 8 chapter 1 says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And here you are in this place of complete safety. So much so, there's a moat surrounding the edge of your castle, which represents God's kingdom, that is so deep that if your enemy fell in, he would drown. And here is your enemy, Satan, the devil, the evil one. And he stands outside looking up at you in your completely safe place. And the only power over you are the words he's shouting at you, the suggestions and the accusations that he's making. And he stands outside and he gives you words and accusations, and he calls out to you and he says, you know, you need that weed, you won't be able to cope without it. You know, you're a complete and absolute failure, just like your father told you, and you will never amount to anything. He says, you know, if the person sitting next to you in church really knew what you'd done in your past, you wouldn't be welcome anymore. He accuses you and says, you know that business God told you to start, you know that's going to fail and you're going to lose all of your money. I told you you wouldn't succeed at anything. And he says things like this, if people knew you had a pornographic addiction, you'd be kicked out of the church. They wouldn't help you. And then he says things like this, you will never be free from alcohol, you are such a loser. These accusations, Real Life Church, say it with me, lies, lies, lies. Amen? So your response needs to be to not even entertain or respond to these accusations, but filter them out straight away in this way. In the name of Jesus and with the blood of Jesus, I command every thought that is not from God to leave my mind right now. Don't argue with that accusation. Don't try and justify yourself. Simply tell that thought in Jesus' name to leave. Amen? The other way Satan tries to lie to us is through a spirit of fear. Timothy tells us that God has not given Bethwyn Grasso a spirit of fear, but of love, of power. And wait for this, a sound mind. Amen? A sound mind. And so what happens is that we find that we have to actually keep feeding our minds with the truth of God's word to keep us strong, to make sure that we're aligning our thought patterns with truth. Yeah? So when I was a teenager, there was this guy, I went to Hyde Park AOG, and there was this guy, and his name was Dr. Green. And I can still picture him, he was an American guy. He came through probably three or four times to our church over several years. And he was a trained psychiatrist, psychologist, and he felt that the calling on his life was to read his whole Bible through once every day. So he would rise at 3 o'clock every morning and read till nine. Now, he had trained himself in speed reading. So that's how he did it. And over his lifetime, he started off by breaking his Bible up into seven, and he would read on each day for 7 days of the week. He'd read a seventh of the Bible. And eventually, over many years, he actually was able to read the whole Bible through. Now, he felt his life calling was to do this. And the reason was that he would go to the very worst psychiatric wards where people had completely lost their minds. They were locked up with no hope. And he would ask, not many people did, but he would ask, can I go in? Can I talk to these people? And he would give them a Bible and say this, if you will read this book every day, you will heal your own mind and I won't charge you a cent. And there were stories, he actually gave us names and stories of people who were in the darkest, darkest situations. And as they actually took the Bible and started ever so slowly to read the Word of God, that their minds started to be restored because truth sets you free. Amen? So while the people who took Dr. Green's advice, what they were doing was, in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5, it says, they were demolishing arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God and taking captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what was happening because they were spending their time reading truth, meditating on truth, and it was starting to change the way that they were thinking. And they started to get freer. They started to get more sane as they started to meditate and they started to believe what the Word of God said about them. So how do you take your thoughts captive? You might be asking right now. I can see you're asking that, Andrew. How do you take your thoughts captive? You take responsibility for your own thought life. You ask the Holy Spirit to help you to do this. Because God, once again, has given us free choice to exercise control over our thoughts. Now, an example of this was God warned Cain. He said, Cain, you need to choose what you dwell on, what you think about. Focus your mind on the right things. But Cain chose to think about the wrong things. And these were the things that he dwelt on and thought about. He thought about anger. He thought about getting back to his brother and he saw his brother in a competitive way. He was jealous. And you know, the eventual end to those thought processes and patterns was that he murdered his own brother. Can you believe that? Yeah? And what happened was that he was choosing to dwell on those things that were wrong thoughts, that were negative thoughts. yeah, that were untruths. Number two, allow God to transform you. Say yes. Ask for his ability and help to renew your mind. Work on disciplining your mind. It won't just happen if you think, oh, that's a good idea, Bethwyn. You've got to actually deliberately position yourself. You've got to be strategic. Yeah, you've got to actually be committed and you've got to be disciplined to renew your mind. Number three, don't give up and bash yourself up. It's going to take a lifetime to have Christ-like thinking. And some days it might feel like 50 steps forward and 40 back, but don't give up. Keep renewing, keep refreshing yourself. Keep exposing yourself to the truth of God's word. And if you find it hard to read the Bible, you've got audio. If you find it hard, find a version that works for you. Yeah? Message Bible is a great Bible. Passion Bible. There's lots of different things that you can read to give yourself variety in your Bible reading. Amen? Number four, choose to focus your mind on the right things. Philippians 4, verse 8. I love this. I love this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Whatsoever is true. What does that mean? Whatsoever things are reliable, whatsoever things are based on the truth of the Word of God. Please don't believe everything you read on Google to be true. Don't let untruths be a part of your thought patterns. Can I encourage you to believe reliable sources? We have a choice of so many different bits of information. Make sure they're reliable. Make sure they're true. They're full of truth. Then it says, whatsoever things are right. Now, this word means straight as opposed to crooked. Don't allow certain thoughts through the gate of your mind that are disrespectful, that are unreliable, that are dodgy. Yeah? Close the gate on that type of thinking. Then it says, whatsoever things that are lovely. In this passage, lovely means causing you to love. Turn to the person next to you and say, causing you to love. Does the thought cause you to criticize unjustly and to bring division? We are to think about things that cause us to love and think the best of other people in our world. Amen? And then it says, think about those things that are of a good report. That means to think about things that are high toned, that have a high caliber. The kind of thinking that will shut down the gossip mill. Gossip spreads bad reports. We are to be known as people spreading good reports. Amen? You know, there's a story about a man, two ladies who were walking down the street in England, and one of the parishioners that they went to church with for many years was staggering in his front yard. And they went into the town and they were telling all of their friends, you should see Mr. So-and-so, he's drunk, he's in the front yard. No, he actually was having a massive heart attack and he died in his front yard. That's the power of a bad report. Let's be people who choose the best, to choose to see the best in people and spread good reports. I want to be really transparent with you this morning and sharing that there have been seasons in my life where I have struggled with intense fears that gripped me and paralyzed me. And I've shared those with you in the past for those of you who have heard my story. But I believe those lies so strongly that they ruled my life. And then through people praying for me and encouraging me, I had this aha moment, this revelation, where I saw the veil was removed and I saw that they were deceptions, that they were lies set up by Satan because he wanted to rip me off. He wanted to destroy me. He wanted to render me hopeless, helpless, and powerless. And then I started a very lifelong process of renewing my mind, choosing what I watched, choosing what I dwelt on, disciplining my life to control thoughts and fears that had the potential to grip and destroy me. So I stand here today to encourage you, because I too have to take heed to what I've just encouraged you to do. And it's a lifetime commitment. It's something that we can never relax and get slack on. It's something that we have to be vigilant and diligent in renewing our minds. What about our own voice, our own self-talk? Once again, we filter our thoughts through the Word of God. If we want to develop a healthy, godly self-image, we need to recognize our own righteousness. If you have repented of your sin, you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, then you are completely righteous in God's eyes. And yet there are many of us who doubt that daily, who question, am I really? Am I accepted? Am I right? Ephesians 1, 3 to 6 says this, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, wherein," listen to this, "he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Amen. You are accepted. Jesus said, "The truth shall make you free." But what is truth? It's what God says about you. We were singing it earlier. I am who you say I am. And we today, I'm praying that people's hearts will be transformed, that this truth will get right inside of you and you will know who you belong to. You'll know what God says about you and how he feels about you, that you are not standing in your own righteousness this morning, but you are clean. You are accepted in the beloved. God has given us, every single one of us, everything we need for life and godliness. All of the resources of heaven are at our disposal. All we have to do is ask. You are accepted. What does that mean? It means that you can rest in your relationship with Christ. You don't have to strive. You don't have to beg. You don't have to attain and do all of these good works to attain to the acceptance of your Saviour. You can rest in your relationship with Christ. You are completely and absolutely loved and adored by the Father. He doesn't reject you. You don't have to try and be good enough for God to accept you. If you stuff up and get it wrong, it says that he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. There are so many of us who bash ourselves up all the time, seeking God's approval when we already have it. And our self-talk condemns us and says that we are not holy enough. We are not pure enough. We have made far too many mistakes for God's approval. But I want to finish with this kind of the final words of a very godly but a very real man who died at 90 just a few months ago. And this is what he said. He got read out at his own funeral. And he said, "I cannot change my past. I cannot change my immediate future. But my response to my current circumstance, be it positive or negative, will determine my future." And I believe there are many, many people here today who have believed lies, lies, lies for far too long. And the word of God says that whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And I just am asking those of you today that have, you spend way too much of your thought life, way too much of your self-talk, bashing yourself up, to look up. Yeah? You're in that castle, that kingdom of God. Yeah? You're safe. You're secure. You can be at rest. Will the musicians come up and join me this morning? I want to make an appeal for anybody here who does not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But today you've heard these words and something has resonated within you and you actually think, I need that in my life. I need to have a shepherd. I need to have a saviour. I can't do everything you've been talking about on my own. I need something greater than myself. Yeah? So would you close your eyes and bow your heads this morning? And if you are a person that would love to have a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, then it would be my pleasure this morning to lead you in a prayer. Just raise up your hand nice and high. Don't be shy. Everyone's eyes are closed. Raise up your hand nice and high because, yep, wonderful. Can you just raise them up a little bit higher so people can see down the back? Fantastic. All right, would you everybody join me this morning in this prayer? Dear Lord Jesus, please forgive me of all my sins. I invite you into my heart and life to become my Lord and Savior. I am turning away from my old life to follow you. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, there was about five hands that went up. Can we give the Lord a huge praise offering this morning? Because all of heaven is rejoicing at those decisions.